And we will read from verse 8 of the chapter. 2 Samuel 23, reading from verse 8. I'd just like to apologize this morning for being late. It's one thing I hate, that's been late for a meeting. But we left in good time, but there's diversion of traffic around Ballymena. And then after that, everybody seemed to say, well, I'm driving at 30 miles an hour, and you know how it is. But we apologize, but we're delighted to be here this morning, and we trust that the Lord will bless us around His Word and as we worship the Lord. 2 Samuel chapter 23 and verse 8. These be the names of the mighty men whom David had, the Tachmonite that sat in his seat, chief among the captains, and the same was Adino the Ethnite. He lifted up his spear against 800 whom he slew at one time. And after him was Eliezer, the son of Dodo, the Hohahite, one of the three mighty men with David, when they defied the Philistines that were there gathered together to battle, and the men of Israel were gone away. He arose and smote the Philistines until his hand was weary, and his hand clave unto the sword. And the Lord wrought a great victory that day, and the people returned after him, only to spoil. And after him was Shammah, the son of Agee, the Hararite. And the Philistines were gathered together into a troop, where was a piece of ground full of lentils. And the people fled from the Philistines. But he stood in the midst of the ground and defended it, and slew the Philistines. And the Lord wrought a great victory. And the three of the 30 chief went down and came to David in the harvest time unto the cave of Adullam. And the troop of the Philistines pitched in the valley of Rephaim. And David was then in an hold, and the garrison of the Philistines was then in Bethlehem. And David longed and said, Oh, that one would give me a drink of the water of the well of Bethlehem, which is by the gate. And the three mighty men brake through the host of the Philistines and drew water out of the well of Bethlehem that was by the gate and took it and brought it to David. Nevertheless, he would not drink thereof, but poured it out unto the Lord. And he said, Be it far from me, O Lord, that I should do this. Is not this the blood of the men that went in jeopardy of their lives? Therefore, he would not drink it. These things did these three mighty men. Amen. And we'll end our reading there, verse 17. Amen. We'd like to direct your attention to verse 16 of 2 Samuel 23. And the three mighty men break through the host of the Philistines and drew water out of the well of Bethlehem that was by the gate and took it and brought it to David. Nevertheless, he would not drink thereof, but poured it out unto the Lord. David at this time was in exile and in hiding in the cave of Adullam. And I'm sure many of the times he thought about home and his family and the work. And I'm sure he looked back to the time when he was anointed by Samuel to be king over Israel. He would wonder, would it ever come about that he would be enthroned on the throne of David or of Israel? I'm sure there's many things went through his mind, and it's wonderful that the thing that was occupying him at this time was a drink of water. Sometimes you and I maybe have to go away for home for extended periods, and maybe work or something else, we're separated from family. And it's just wonderful, the small things that we miss. And David missed the water at the well that was at the gate of Bethlehem. It wasn't the palace. It wasn't all the trappings that went with being king. Just a cup of cold water. He had a longing for this cup of cold water. And yet, the amazing thing is, when these three mighty men, jeopardizing their lives, broke through the Philistine garrison and managed to get the cup of cold water, brought it back to David, and David pours it out on the ground. And you would say, a very ungracious, unthankful act. But it does qualify it. It says, he poured it out unto the Lord. He poured it out unto the Lord. And it's David's offering that I want to spend a little time with you this morning. And first of all, we want to consider that it was a common thing. Common thing. Verse 15 says, and David longed and said, oh, that one would give me drink of the water of the well of Bethlehem, which is by the gate. Just something simple. Just a common thing that is common to each one of us. A cold water. And what does it signify? It signifies that that which is offered unto the Lord and which is pleasing to Him need not be something of great price. It does not have to be something that we really can't afford, but just something that we give it and we pour it out unto the Lord. Something that will show our devotion to the Lord. Remember when one occasion the Lord was at the temple and he stood by the treasury and he saw this widow woman coming along and he noticed what she had dropped in. There was many before, rich men, and they gave far more than she could ever think of. But Jesus said they gave of their substance. It didn't really cost them anything. She gave two mites. Wasn't very much. Many would despise it. But the Lord took note of it because she gave what she had. It was all she had. And what you and I can offer unto the Lord sometimes can be a common thing to other people. But when we pour it out unto the Lord, it's acceptable unto Him. We think of the lad with the 5 barley loaves and the 2 small fishes. They were given over unto the Lord. It was for the Lord to do what He wanted with. He gave it all. It was all He had. Barley loaves and small fishes. Barley loaves would indicate that it was the food of the very poor. It was the roughest of sustenance. But He gave it. And the Lord accepted it. And the Lord blessed it. And He fed a multitude. Sometimes it's just a few moments of our time. How often we have said that time seems to hang in our hands. But how do we use it? Do we redeem it? Maybe just taking aside and remembering someone in our prayers, praying for some missionary, praying for the preacher, praying for the work, just taking that little time and getting before the Lord and pouring it out before Him. For some folks, twice in a Sunday seems to be a great sacrifice. A sacrifice or an offering that they're not really prepared to make. When we were coming down this morning, we're just saying the traffic on the Lord's Day used to be very light. And now it's as busy as ever. People making their way to the seaside or other places. I'm sure they weren't all going to church. And yet, as our brother Trevor mentioned this morning, when we think of the great sacrifice of Calvary and what the Lord Jesus Christ did for you and for me, surely the least we can do is to come to the house of God twice in the Lord's Day. Surely the least we can do is come in the prayer meeting night. Surely the least we can do is offer something unto Him in some aspect or other of the work. So it was a common thing. But it was a costly thing. And maybe this is paradoxical. How can a thing be common and yet costly? Well, it wasn't really costly to David at that particular time. David was in the cave of Adullam. Somehow these men heard of his desire and his longing. And they determined that they were going to Bethlehem and in jeopardy of their lives, putting their lives in great danger. They were going to get what the king requested. And they went without any fuss about it. Went to Bethlehem Very dangerous place. The Philistines' garrison was there. It was at the gate where this well was. But forgetting about the danger, and just the one thing in mind, they were getting this for the king. It was for him. And they delighted in doing it. They put themselves in danger and they brought it back. A common thing. But it was made precious because they did it for the king. And it was precious to the king. That's what he desired. You know, what the Lord asked of you and I is to do what we can. He tells us what to do because it will please him. And I oftentimes, our service, sometimes what we offer unto the Lord is done in a tardy manner. Or maybe we do it grudgingly. And again, when we think of what he has done for us, surely no sacrifice that we can make be too great for him. These men hazarded their lives. But we do remember that Jesus gave his life. He voluntarily offered up his life as a sacrifice for sin. No man took it from him. He laid it down and he took it up again. And he offered himself, and in bearing shame and scoffing ruin in our place, condemned he stood. He who knew no sin, that did no sin, but that we might go to heaven. He offered up himself. He poured out his soul unto death. Paul in Romans 5 and 8 says, "But God commendeth his love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." While we were rebels, while we were going our own way and our backs towards heaven and our face towards hell, doing our own thing, Christ died for the ungodly. David poured out the water as an offering unto the Lord. And it was costly to those that had brought it. And David saw this, and he realized what his desire had cost, would have cost these men their lives. And so he went and drank it, and he poured it out unto the Lord. It was something they desired. He had a great desire for it, this water at the well of the gate of Bethlehem. And he pours it out. He pours it out. And in the eyes of the Lord, that was a great offering. It was what David had desired for himself. But when he realized what it cost these men to get it, he poured it out as an offering unto the Lord. You turn over to chapter 24 and verse 24. And David wants to buy the threshing floor of Araunah to put up an altar and to offer burnt offerings. And Araunah wants to give it to the king. Verse 24, "And the king said unto Araunah, Nay, but I will surely buy it of thee at a price. Neither will I offer burnt offerings unto the Lord my God of that which does cost me nothing. So David bought the threshing floor and the oxen for 50 shekels of silver." He wouldn't offer unto the Lord that which cost him nothing. I wonder if we think back in our service for the Lord, when we think of what we're doing for the Lord, is it our all? Has it cost us? If you turn over to the book of Malachi, and here the Lord has something to say, particularly to the priests, to the leaders of the work, but also to each one of our hearts. In Malachi, the last book of the Old Testament, chapter 1, verse 6, and here he has a criticism of them. "A son honoureth his father, and a servant his master. If then I be a father, where is mine honour? And if I be a master, where is my fear? Saith the Lord of hosts unto you. O priests that despise my name, and ye say, wherein have we despised thy name? If a child honours his father and fears his father, that's good. Tried it is today in many households, that's not the case. But it ought to be, honour thy father and thy mother." And the Lord is saying here, if they, an earthly father, is entitled to honour and reverence and fear, where's mine? Where's mine? There's no fear of God in our province today. That's the trouble. Very little fear of God. And sometimes even among ourselves, the people of God, how little fear there is and how little we honour the Lord. But then he goes on, verse 7, ye offer polluted bread upon mine altar, and ye say, wherein we have polluted thee, in that ye say the temple of the Lord is contemptible. Isn't this awful? What are you offering unto me? Polluted bread, that which is of no use. You call the table of the Lord contemptible. Now, he wasn't referring there to the table of the Lord as we know it now. It may have been of the table of showbread, but they were treating with contempt. They were offering unto the Lord that which cost them nothing. That's what they would throw out. And you know, since I've retired, I've been able, thank God, to be preaching around the churches. Great privilege. And the thing that amazes me, and I don't know the answer to it, but you have a well-filled church and it's Communion Sunday. And maybe you go to a congregation with 200 or 300 people or 150, whatever. And when all those that are leaving leave, you're left maybe with 2 or 3 dozen people around the table. Why is that? Why is that? Is that not dishonoring the Lord? Is that not treating the table with contempt? The Lord commanded, this do ye in remembrance of me. Someone might say, and I've heard the excuse, oh, I'm not good enough. Well, the simple fact is, none of us are good enough. There's no one that I know lives 100% without sin. But in 1 Corinthians 11, the Apostle Paul says, we're to put things right. If there's something there between us and the Lord, if there's something between us and another brother or believer, we're to put it right and then let him eat and drink. We're not to walk away and do nothing about it. And they offered that polluted bread. And then to make matters worse, they turn around and say, well, wherein have we offended thee? That's just pouring petrol upon fire, isn't it? Where have we offended thee? If we go on down the chapter, and he says in chapter 1, verse 13, ye said also, behold, what a weariness it is, and ye have snuffed at it, saith the Lord of hosts. And ye brought that which was torn, and the lame, and the sick. Thus ye brought an offering. Should I accept this of your hand, saith the Lord? Don't think so. Don't think the Lord's going to accept it. You see, if you and I offer something unto the Lord that costs us nothing, the Lord will think nothing of it. It has to cost us. And it's not just material things. It's not just our money. But it's a good place to start with their tithes, 10th of our increase, setting it aside for the Lord's treasury, and then our offerings. Sure, it's all His anyway. And what you and I have, it's only loaned to us. It's only loaned to us. Remember many years ago when I was in Porto Vogue and we were speaking in tithing one day, and the lady talked to me afterwards and she said, you know, when Mr. Douglas was here, he was speaking on tithing, and one Sunday, and she said to him, you know, Mr. Douglas, I can't really afford to tithe. I have so little coming in. He said, well, I'll tell you what you do. For a month, he said, whatever you have, you tithe it unto the Lord, and then come and tell me how you get on. And after a month, she came back and she said, you know, I never had as much. It seemed to me that the more I gave unto the Lord, the more He gave me back. Now, we don't give to get. But it's not the way it works. We give unto the Lord. And how does He give? Good measure, pressed down and shaken and overflowing. Brother Albert will know what I'm talking about. When we worked in Chemstrands and cutting and baling, and we had to put this fibre into a carton. And you know, sometimes the men in the spinning end, they let the machine run too long, and you had to get a tamper and you had to tamp the stuff into the carton, remembered? And you could hardly get it in, and then you would give it a wee shake to get it to settle down. And I've often thought in that, you know, how the Lord gives good measure, pressed down, shaken, and overflowing. The Lord's no man's debtor. But what about our time? What about our time? There's not a church that I would preach in that I know of that have a surplus of workers or people that will take time to sit among the boys or girls or people that will go in the bus or whatever. There's plenty to do. Offering unto the Lord, it was a great sacrifice, and David poured it out unto the Lord. He wouldn't take it. He wouldn't drink, but he poured it out as an offering unto the Lord. And then it was a desirable thing, because verse 15 says, David longed for the water at Bethlehem. It was something he greatly desired. And in making this offering, David was not giving that for which he felt no need. His whole soul longed for it. And how oftentimes, you know, if the Lord is going to prove us, and how often we pray that the Lord will bless us, and the Lord will guide us and direct us in the way we should go, and the Lord takes us at our word, and then he tests us, and he puts his hand in something. And maybe the Lord's putting his hand on a son or a daughter for his work, and we're a bit reluctant to let them go, and oh, we would rather see them finishing their studies, we'd rather see them going on with their career, and then maybe think about it. But the Lord is saying, what about now? What about giving me what you have? Remember the woman with the alabaster box of ointment? Very precious. And she came and she anointed the Savior with it. Now that was probably something like an heirloom. It was definitely something that people would have had in their homes, because when it came to death, they needed something to anoint their bodies because of the heat and all the rest of it. And it was very expensive. But she brought it, and she broke open the box, and she anointed the feet of the Savior. And wonders of wonders, she was criticized. And those that criticized her were the disciples. What waste? What waste? Could this not have been sold for 300 pennyworth and given to the poor? And Jesus said, let her alone. She has done what she could. Brothers and sisters, is our offering unto the Lord, are we doing what we can? Many will give their goods for charitable purposes when death is looking them in the face, or they'll put it in their will, and that's better than nothing. It's better than nothing. But what about giving it if we have it when we're alive? It's more blessed to give than to receive. We all say that. But is it a reality? It's like the wee lad that went to church with his mother, and when it came to the collection time, she knew what he had. He had a 50p and a 10p. And she watched to see what he had put in, and he put in the 10p. And she said, Johnny, I'm very disappointed with you. Why did you not put in the 50p? He said, Mommy, I was going to. And then he said, I remembered the Lord loves a cheerful giver. And he wasn't too happy about putting in the 50p. I remember a man in Portavogie, one of our elders. He visited a man every Friday night faithfully. That man didn't know what he was worth. A millionaire, maybe millionaire, two or three times over. And when he got his pension, he saved it up for 6 months. And then he went and he lifted it and he put it into the bank. He was literally having as a table an onion box or an orange box. Man lived in poverty. And he was worth millions. And then he died. And the family came along and squandered it. Now, it couldn't have not been used for the Lord and for the Lord's work. See, the devil's a hard taskmaster. He lets you hoard things and gather things as much as you want. He'll not let you spend it. better to give when we have it and not hold on with an iron grip. I remember the Reverend Ron Johnson talking about a lady in the Carrickfergus church, and I believe it was one of the Hmong sisters. And when she was a pensioner, she saved money and she laid it aside for this cause, for that cause, for this servant of the Lord and another servant of the Lord. And she wrote it down, not just to say what she had, but she just kept a record of it. And you know, when she died, it was totted up to something like hundreds of thousands of pounds she'd given away. Just a pensioner. She gave what she could. David poured out the water unto the Lord. Many would say, a great waste. It's not terrible. It's the same when some person, young person, hears the call of God into the harvest fields. And maybe they've a brilliant career ahead of them in some field or other. And then the Lord speaks to their heart and they give it up. And what do they get? They get the well done from those who are... No, they don't. They get the brickbats. What a waste. What a waste. I was just reading this morning of William Carey. And he asked these certain people for prayer for his son. Because his son had, Felix was his name, he had made a promise to his father that he would go into the Lord's work. But he reneged on the promise. And instead he went to a foreign country as an ambassador for the king. And William Carey asked for a prayer for Felix because he says he's denigrated himself in going as an ambassador when he should be going as an ambassador for the King of Kings. See the way we look at things. David saw that which he desired and longed for. But at the cost, he poured it out unto the Lord. It was a consecrated thing. He poured it out unto the Lord. He refused to use it to the gratification of his own longings. And even water spilt on the ground after this holy matter, it's not lost. And what you and I give to the Lord and what you and I offer unto the Lord, it's never lost. It's never wasted. It's pleasing unto the Lord. And we get the well done of the Lord. The Bible tells us that a cup of cold water given in the name of a disciple shall in no wise lose its reward. Just a common thing like a drink of water. But to somebody that's thirsty, it's a great boon. And when the Lord sees that it's given in his name, then it's doubly blessed. And then it was something that could not be taken back. It was water poured out on the ground that couldn't be gathered up again. It was offered unto the Lord. It couldn't be taken back. And brothers and sisters, what you and I give to the Lord, what we do for the Lord, we never ever should think about taking it back. If we give to the Lord and to the Lord's work, that's between the Lord and us. That's done. That's done and dusted. We're not going to take it back. We're not going to crib about it. We're not going to blow about it. We just give it as unto the Lord. It can't be taken back. And when you think what the Lord has given us, the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. In other words, what the Lord has given us, just because we go wayward, just because we sin, because we're not as what we ought to be, and we deserve God to take back from us. He doesn't do that. He gives us salvation in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he gives us eternal life. That's it. There is now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Never takes it back. Oh yes, sometimes he has to chastise us and bring us into the way. And what you and I give to the Lord, we should never think about taking back. David poured the water out unto the Lord. You and I can give things. We can give our time, we can give our talents, we can give our money. But you know, the greatest thing that we can give to the Lord is ourselves. Remember Paul writing about the church at Philippi when he was gathering up money for the Persians at Jerusalem? And he said those at Philippi, he said, they didn't do what we thought they would do. and give the money, but they first gave themselves unto the Lord, and then they gave. And you see, brothers and sisters, it's when you and I give ourselves unto the Lord, then the Lord will have everything. If we consecrate our lives unto Him, if we're earnest and saying, Lord, here's my life, let it be consecrated, Lord, for Thee, then the Lord's got every part of us, hasn't He? And nothing will shake that. And everything that we have is the Lord's. And doesn't it make it much easier? Giving back to the Lord what is His, and then the Lord gives back to you again and meets their every need. The night I was got saved, and it was Philippians 4:19, my God shall supply your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. I've never seen that disproved. I've never seen that fail. The Lord always meets our need. No matter what we give to the Lord always gives good measure, pressed down and shaken. And surely we ought to give ourselves, not withholding anything. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 6:19, ye are not your own, for you're bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. It's the Lord's anyway. Let's present our bodies a living sacrifice unto God, holy, acceptable unto Him. The least we can do is offer ourselves. And when we offer ourselves, then we're offering everything that we have. That's the best way. We'll not count the cost then. When we give ourselves, we give everything. David had this water brought at great cost, not to himself, but to others. And he poured it out as an offering unto the Lord. He wouldn't give unto the Lord that which cost him nothing. He gave the best that he had. Surely the Lord only deserves the best that you and I have. It mightn't be much in the eyes of this world, but in the eyes of the Lord, it's what it is. It's everything. It's everything. May the Lord bless His word to all of our hearts. 408.